If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the fourth chapter of Genesis. And we're going to be dealing with Cain and Abel. And there are various theories with respect to them. Because in the Hebrew, let me just read a couple of verses and then I'll comment on it. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife." This is after the fall, of course. "And she conceived and bare Cain, and said, 'I've gotten a man from the Lord.'" Or basically that means, "With the Lord's help, I have a son." "And then she again bare his brother Abel." Now, the way it reads in the Hebrew, there's a word there that carries the idea that some people have the theory that Cain and Abel were twins. And from the context and from the word, it's just that she continued bearing is what it says. And because she continued bearing, well, she continued bearing the rest for quite a few years because they produced many sons and daughters. And so that phrase doesn't mean that they were twins. And it doesn't make any difference one way or the other whether they were or whether they weren't. Their typology remains the same. You know, the first man, Cain, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, like in the instance of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord of glory. And we have a firstborn represents the flesh. Secondborn represents those who are born again. Now, and we see that in each of the sons that are born throughout Scripture, throughout much of Scripture. We see it with King Saul and King David, first king. He got lifted up in pride, and then David took his place. So you see Saul was saved, but he became very jealous of David because the women would sing about Saul, that he killed his thousands, and of David, he killed his 10,000s. And that spirit of jealousy rose up in him, and David used to, even before he killed Goliath, David was hired by the king. Because he did have these fits from time to time. And David would play and sing, and it would comfort him. And but then when that spirit of jealousy would rise up, he'd grab a spear and throw it at him. You know. So it's just, you know, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And in this particular instance, both of them were saved. But in the typology, the first always represents flesh, second, that which is spiritual. So it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and she bare Cain, and said, 'I've gotten a man from the Lord.' And she again bare his brother, Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, because of that statement, the world has a tendency to think, well, Cain just brought what he produced, and Abel just brought what he produced. And if we didn't have anything else to judge by, that might be so. But remember, when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, then the Lord came and clothed them. You know, they were naked. And he clothed them with the skin of an innocent victim. We don't know what it was, probably a lamb, but he provided a covering. But in order to provide that covering, you know, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So in order to get the skin of a lamb, you have to shed his blood. And then they had, but because of their newfound morality, you know, knowing the difference between right and wrong, suddenly they were ashamed because they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together, and that's a tenuous covering at best. Not going to last, and it's certainly not going to cover you before God, because without the shedding of blood, there's what? There's no remission. So then let's go on with this a little bit. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a minute. And should be about in here somewhere. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're contrasting with what body will they come. And let's just read, actually we could read just verse 46, but let's start at 43 with respect to the body. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. That is the man who comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, so it's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. And, you know, I just lost Joanne back on December 6th. And the last couple of years of her life, she had a lot of problems. And basically, in order to get hospice care, she had to express that she was ready to die. And so we were over at the Green Valley at that facility there, and she says, "I want to die, and I want to die like I drive." Well, I'll tell you a little story. I was working over in Bend years ago, and I happened to be working for Springfield Radio at the time, and we were putting in a system for the I think it's Deschutes County over there. And anyway, we were putting radios in, police cars, radios in, dump trucks, snow plows, all kinds of things. I put a base station in, police station, and then on two different mountaintops, I installed radios there. And Joanne decided to come over and visit me. And it was a nice, sunshiny day, summertime. There wasn't any traffic, and she made it from our house on Newcastle to where I was staying in Bend in just a little bit over an hour and 15 minutes. That's pedal to the metal. So when she said, "I want to die like I drive," that trip over there, you know, I've hit it pretty hard at times because it gave me so much work to do and hundreds of miles to drive. And over the years, I've got a lot of tickets for speeding because, you know, just trying to get done. And then to Beadle, I'd hit the summit at Salem, and we could reach our common carrier radio system. Before cell phones, I mean, you could have a telephone in your car from the Ma Bell, but it cost, the radio itself cost about $2,500, and then with that, there was about a $60 a month fee, and then if you had any long-distance calls, it just added to it. So having a phone in your car back in those days was an expensive proposition. But common carrier, we had telephone interconnect, and we could do it for a lot less money. And so I'd hit the summit at Salem on I-5 coming back. And as soon as I'd hit the summit, I could get into Eugene from there. And we used a code system, 10-1. I was in service, 10-2. I was out of service. So I'd say 10-1, you know, 3287, that was my number. And 3287-10-1. And invariably, they would come back and say, "There's a radio at Allen Brothers or some other place that needs to be fixed." Everybody else went home at 5 o'clock. Yeah. but because I was willing to work, they dumped a lot on me, and as a consequence, I drove fast too. And I slowed down a little bit in old age. Okay. Anyway, in 1 Corinthians 15, let's pick up about the death of the body. In verse 43, it's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. And the body has to have something wrong with it, which is going to take your life. So it's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. And, of course, right now, Joanne's body is here. We put the, after she was cremated, we put the ashes out just outside the church. But that's not Joanne. She's in a body that the Lord went to prepare. He promised it in the 14th chapter of John. And that's so comforting. Sometimes I go in the house, it seems so empty without her, But it's just, as I think about it and the way she suffered those last days, I couldn't on my worst day wish to have her back in that condition, She's home in the presence of the Lord. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, and no more dying, In a body which Jesus promised in the 14th chapter of John, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And then the translators went crazy. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house, what is this body for the soul? A dwelling place. And that's the word in 1 John. Okay, let's come back to this now. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Now, that didn't mean that Jesus didn't have a body. Yes, he had a body. He had to be crucified in that body. He had to shed his blood in that body. He performed many miracles in that body, But it's the difference between the natural and the spiritual. And, of course, Adam was saved. He believed when the Lord promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Adam believed that, and that's why he called his wife's name Eve. Eve has various meanings in Hebrew, but basically the mother of life. He didn't understand. He had very little information at that point in time. But in the relationship with the woman, he called her the mother of lives. And yet we know that we have eternal life, through the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman, or the seed of Abraham, is Jesus Christ. Okay, now verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. So we see a typology formed here, where the firstborn invariably represents the flesh. And the second, it doesn't mean that the individual was lost, it just, in the typology of Scripture, he represents the flesh. And so, verse 47, so the first man is out of the earth, a little more literal translation, he's out of the earth, earthy. God took and formed earth into the shape of a body and breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It says, the first man is out of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord, not from heaven, out of heaven, as is the earthy. Okay, we have a natural birth. And when we're born into this world naturally, we're spiritually dead. And there has to come a point in time when the gospel is preached. That's why Jesus commanded the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel, there has to be a time when the seed is sown. The seed is the Word of God. It falls on different types of ground. There's good ground, and then there's the wayside ground, where the ground was packed so hard that it couldn't germinate, and the birds of the air, which represent the ministers of the devil, they caught the seed away so that it couldn't germinate. Okay? So all of these types throughout Scripture is all pointing to the fact that we need a Savior, and the truth is represented to us in the natural lives of individuals as we go through the Scripture. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, we have God's revelation of His plan of salvation. And we have to find out, why do we need salvation in the first place? Well, Eve was deceived. And according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, Adam was not deceived. But according to the 12th, or chapter 5 and verse 12 through about 16 in Romans, Adam sinned out of his love for his wife, because Adam knew that unless he put himself in that position, it was necessary, because everyone comes from Adam. Eve came from Adam, and then by progeneration, we've all come from Adam. So as in Adam, what? All die. We're under the sentence of death because of Adam's sin. And so Adam's sin is also, it's identical to Eve, except that Adam was not deceived. So Adam's sin represents what the world thinks is the way into heaven. It's what is, by definition, a knowledge of good and evil, or right and wrong. We call it morality. What are the religious systems of this world based upon? They're all based upon morality. That's why over in Proverbs, Solomon wrote in two different chapters, 14 and 16, there is a way which, in 14, and that in 16, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what seems right to men? Well, if I'm good and I try hard and so forth, I might make mistakes along the way, but God will overlook them. That's the way men think. And so he thinks that everyone goes to heaven. All you have to do to go to heaven is die. That's the way the world thinks. And that's the devil's lie. And we can see it here in Cain and Abel. But the difference between Cain and Abel is that, both of them were sinners, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But the only sin that they could be charged with, where there's no law, there's no transgression, so the only sin they could be charged with was the sin of Adam. So that's why the Scripture says, as in Adam, all die. See? Well, people say, well, that's not fair. They didn't do anything wrong. And they begin to try to argue against it. But if we read the rest of the verse, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, those that are in Christ are made alive. So we talked about it last week. Adam's a federal head, and Jesus Christ is a federal head. And that means one stands for all. So when Adam sinned, we sin. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood for our sins. So we're made alive by virtue of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We couldn't shed our own blood, because our blood's corruptible. So then he goes on to say, the first man is out of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now, this is from God's viewpoint. when God looks at us, you know, and there's none of us that is without sin, but in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? It cleanses us from all sin. So we are seen in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, if we choose to stand on the basis of our own righteousness, as Cain did, and we'll go back to him now. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. In process of time, it says in verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Well, over in Leviticus 17:11, by progressive revelation, we know that without the shedding of blood is no remission. We know that God couldn't clothe Adam and Eve in the skin of an animal without shedding his blood. So, without the shedding of blood, what's the scripture say? There's no remission or no payment that enables God to forgive us of our sins. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now, just because that Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd, people get the idea, because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. We have to put this together with all of the Word of God. So the fact that Cain was a farmer is of no consequence. The fact that Abel was a shepherd is of no consequence. Abel believed God and he made a bloody sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And Cain, he made what must have been a beautiful offering. And we can compare it to people who see themselves righteous by the lives that they live. I'm going to give God a beautiful offering of the things, of the works of my own hands. And surely on that basis, I'll be accepted. And that's the way the world thinks. But it doesn't work that way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father, but how? But by me. So Abel makes a bloody sacrifice based upon the promise that was given in the garden, that of the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent would bruise his heel. In the typology of the scripture, the bruised heel speaks of crucifixion, and what a crushing blow to the head is fatal, a bruised heel is not. So the very fact that all the devil's able to do is bruise our Lord's heel, so in typology that means, he died. But he did what? He conquered death. He rose victorious over death, sin, death, and the grave. So then it says, Abel brought also of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Why? Because it was contrary to what had been revealed to Adam and Eve in the promise of the seed of the woman. So Cain was very wroth. He was like the little boy that's lips hanging down so far he can almost step on it, pouting because his offering wasn't it. I worked so hard. It was beautiful. Why can't God accept me on the basis of the works that I've done? And that's the way the world thinks. And they think that way because of the lie of the devil. And so the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now, notice what he says to him next. If thou doest well. Well, the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So what chance was there that Cain could do well? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? So if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, what? sin lieth at the door. Now, what's that mean? If we could read this in Hebrew, it's like a lamb crouching at the door. And what God was telling him, take that lamb that's crouching at the door, you have power over it, take it and shed its blood as a sin offering. And so that's basically what he told him to do. We can see that more clearly in Hebrew than we can in English. And then after that, well, he's still got how would we say it? He's still pouting. He's still angry. And he meets his brother in the field. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3. And there's a lot of information in this chapter, but we want to begin about verse 11. And where it says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. How? A negative for not as Cain. Okay. So, Cain didn't have any love for Abel, and he should have had. They were brothers, you know. So, not as Cain, who was of whom? Cain was of the wicked one. Now, perhaps we ought to go over to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, and then we'll come back to this. He was of the wicked one, okay? Now, in John chapter 8. Oh, here we are. I'm using my older Bible tonight because I've got some notes in it that I don't have in the other one. Okay. Now, let's see. In verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. The world is the cosmos. So the world thinks according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So even though we were born dead in trespasses and sin, and we walked in darkness until a point in time when the gospel was preached and the Spirit of God quickened it or made it alive so that we had enough information to believe. You know, from that point on, then we believed on the Lord. And then as we, read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God preach, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record not true. Yeah. These self-righteous Pharisees who thought they were keeping the law because they applied their human understanding to it, and it was never exact. There was always some way around it. Okay? So the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record's not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, and you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So I came down from heaven, the virgin born upon this earth, lived his life as a Jew, and he knew he was going to return to heaven. And so he says to them, ye judge after the flesh. Okay, what's that? It's according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's according to the way which seemeth right unto a man. So they had all kinds of rules and regulations that made them feel holy. You know? And so, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So now he's declaring that he's indwelt by the Father. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And that just drove him crazy. Yeah. So then down a little bit further, he says to them in verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in the sins of you. You know, all sin came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And think about Cain and Abel now. Cain and Abel did not have an opportunity to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they were charged with the sin of Adam. Okay? So you can see why that Cain rejected the concept of a bloody sacrifice. I haven't done anything wrong. Yeah. But as in Adam, what? As in Adam, all die. So in Christ, or all that are in Christ, shall be made alive. See? So he goes on to say, I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, or that I am the Christ, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world, that is the cosmos. And how does the cosmos think? According to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, the cosmos. Okay. So he says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you've lifted up the Son of Man, so he's predicting here, he was going to be lifted up on a cross, going to be crucified. Now, cursed is everyone, or anyone actually, that hangs on a tree. So Jesus was hanged on a tree to bear your curse and my curse. And it was promised in the Old Testament scripture. You go back and read the Psalm 22, and you get a terrific description of crucifixion. So he goes on to say, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and ultimately the nation of Israel will understand, and that I do nothing of myself. In other words, I do what the Father has taught me to do. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And that's why when we preach, we'll have a little story every now and then for an illustration. But the important thing is that we give forth the Word of God rightly divided. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, in verse 29, for I do always those things that please him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now there were certain ones, they hadn't believed unto salvation, but they kind of had the idea, well, maybe this really is the Christ. Okay. And that was what was going on in their heads. And he said, if you continue in my word, in other words, you've kind of acted like that you might believe on me, but what will prove it to be so or not is whether you continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. And then he says to them, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? It's the truth that makes us free. See? So we know that we can't keep the law. You know, we know that we can't be justified before God by the lives that we live. But we also know that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman, born under the law, and that he gave himself as a ransom for sin. And because he did that and then rose from the dead, because he lives, we shall live also. So he goes on to say to them, then said Jesus to those Jews in verse 31, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth the sin, or maketh the sin a source of life. Now what's the sin? The sin was Eve was deceived into believing that the day that she would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it would make her like God. She'd know the difference between right and wrong. And so what are all of the religions of the world based upon? Man's morality. And so he says, Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever maketh the sin a source of life, would be a free translation, is the servant of the sin. How much good do you have to do and how good do you have to be? Well, you just have to be perfect. But there's no one perfect except the Lord. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, and this is salvation. This is what he's trying to give to them, salvation. But they're all steeped in the works of their own hands, just like Cain was. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Yeah, you're Semites. You're related to Abraham. But just being related to Abraham doesn't give you an inheritance in the things of God. The Jews thought so. And isn't it interesting? Everybody thinks that anti-Semitism is only against Jews. But the Arabs are Semites too. Ishmael was the son of Abraham, and Isaac was the son of Abraham. And if you go back in time, they came from Shem, and that's where we get the term Semitic. Okay? And so he goes on to say to them, they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said in verse 39 unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. See, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Was Abraham perfect in any respect? No. No. But when he was told to offer his son, he did what he was told. But now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You did the deeds of your father. Now, what are we talking about? In Cain and Abel, according to 1 John chapter 3, that's the unpardonable sin. That makes you a child of the devil when you reject Jesus Christ with knowledge and substitute, the lie of the devil in its place. And we'll go back to 1 John before we close so that you can see that. So he said, Jesus said unto them, first of all, they said, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, or he said, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. So what did they think about the virgin birth? They rejected it out of hand. Yeah, they didn't believe it. No matter how much testimony there was that it was virgin born, they didn't believe it. So they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And we go back to Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Yeah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And that was in their scriptures. They claimed to believe them, but they didn't believe them because they were ignorant of them. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Well, they heard the sounds, but they didn't hear with understanding. And then what does he say to them? Now think about it. Some of these people have actually were kind of leaning to the fact that he might be the Christ. But then they got all of their human effort in the way. And he said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer. That's in Greek, it's an anthropoktonos. From the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh not a lie, the lie. What was the lie? He told Eve, the day you eat of that tree, Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, let's go back to 1 John again. Chapter 3. We've got just about enough time to get this in. And so it says then in verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And the love that we manifest towards one another is the love of Christ. The way we manifest it is through the truth of the Word of God. And we're not to love as Cain, who was of the wicked one. In other words, Cain was a child of the devil. And he slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Yeah. That is, they were of the evil one. They were of the lie of the devil. He thought he could be like God by the life he lived. And his brother's righteous. What was the difference between them? Cain knew that he thought he could be right before God by the works of his own hands. Abel knew he couldn't, and he therefore offered a bloody sacrifice unto the Lord, which represented the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, the word slew in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and did what? Slew his brother. Now, we read in English. I study in both Greek and Hebrew. And the word for slew here is a Greek word, spadzo. And spadzo means the slitting of a throat as in a sacrifice. So imagine, there they are out in the field, Cain and Abel. And Abel is trying to convince Cain of the truth of salvation. And we've all been in that position where we tried to witness to somebody and they're not receiving it. And Cain became so enraged because Abel's offering was accepted and his was rejected that he grabbed his brother and slit his throat as in a sacrifice. And I've imagined it. He grabbed him and said, if God wants a bloody sacrifice, he slit his throat. Here's one. And of course, Abel is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and he was sacrificed for sin. But the sacrifice that he made, it was out of hatred and not out of, any sense of satisfying God. And of course, we don't offer human sacrifice. We offer a lamb which represents the Lamb of God, which does what? Which taketh away the sin of the world. So he says unto him, not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, or of the evil one, and his brother's righteous. Now, what was the difference between them? One brought a bloody sacrifice unto the Lord, the other brought what must have been a beautiful display of the things he had grown. Look at what a good person I am. I've really worked hard to give you this present. And that's the way the world thinks. So he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. See, Why are we hated? You know, we're hated because it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that He saved us. And people, when we say salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing, they always say but. And I like what Brother Stewart used to say. You know, you better be careful with that but, otherwise you're going to slide right into hell on your but. Add another T, okay? And so he says, whosoever hateth his brother, and that's what Cain did, is a murderer. Same word that we saw back in John chapter 8. An anthropoktonos, and you know that no anthropoktonos hath eternal life abiding in him. It's slain in the sense of putting somebody to death for their faith. Okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we see that, indeed, Cain committed the unpardonable sin when he slew Abel because he rejected the truth of the word of God for the lie of the devil and felt totally justified even when God gave him a second opportunity to offer a lamb crouching at the door. We praise you and thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.